navalama irvaruvaru gopi janavalama irvaruvaru Yashodanana Bhagavana Yashodanana Yamuna Tira Ramachari Yamuna Tira Ramachari Yalaya Ramadana Kunja Bihari Jaya Rara 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 Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, jai Ram Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivraja Vacharja Astotara Sati Sri Srinivasa Gaura Jaisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai Iskanda Vidipanga Vacharja Srila Prabhupada ki jai Granta Vachana Bhagavatam ki jai Gaurupa Manandi Sanadita Bhakta Vinna ki All glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees. All glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, text numbers 30 through 34. Okay, so we'll do 30 together, that one has a purport, and then I'll just read the other three alone.
Akanyabhartugaritam
Tam Uchyodevasatravaha Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovivaha Akanyabhartugaritam Uchyodevasatravah Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovidah Akanya Bhartu Gaditam Tam Uchyodevasatravah Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovida Akanya Bhartu Raitam Kamuchura Vashatrava Devam Prati Kritamarsha Yamati Kovida Akanya Bhartu Gaditam Kamuchyodeva Satrava Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovida Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovida Mataji Akanya Bhartu Gaditam Kamuchyodeva Satrava Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovida Akanya Bhartu Gaditam Kamuchyodeva Satrava Devam Prati Kritamarsha Daityanati Kovida Akanya Bhartu Gaditam Kamuchyodeva Satrava Devam Prati Kritamarsha Word for word for this verse. Akanya, after hearing, Bhartu of the Master, Garitam, the words or statement,
Uchu replied to him, Devashatrava, all the Asuras who were enemies of the demon, of the demigods, sorry. Devan, the demigods, Prati, toward, Krita Amarsha, who were envious, Daitiya, the Asuras, Na, Na, Atikovida, who were very expert in executing transactions. Translation in paper by Srila Prabhupada. After hearing the master's statement, the envious Asuras, who were enemies of the demigods and who were not very expert in their dealings, advised Kamsa as follows. Purport. There are two different types of men, the Asuras and the Suras. Dhaubhuta sarva lokesmin daiva asura evacha Vishnu bhakta smito daiva asuras tad viparvaya, from the Padma Purana. Those who are devotees of Lord Vishnu, Krishna, are Suras or Devas, whereas those who are opposed to the devotees are called Asuras. Devotees are expert in all transactions. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvar gunaistatra samasati sura. Therefore they are called kovida, which means expert. Asuras, however, although superficially showing expertise in passionate activities, are actually all fools. They are neither sober nor expert. Whatever they do is imperfect. Mogha-sha, mogha-karmana. According to this description of the Asuras given in Bhagavad Gita 9.12, whatever they do will ultimately be baffled. It was such persons who advised Kamsa because they were his chief friends and ministers. Text 31. Evam ceta hibhajanva puravana vajadishu amidasham nidashamscha hamishyama vyavaishishu. If this is so, O king of the Bhoja dynasty, beginning today we shall kill all the children born in all the villages, towns and pasturing grounds within the past 10 days or slightly more. Text 32. You can join me in the Sanskrit. Kirmadyamai karishyanti deva samaradhirava nityanadvignamanasa jagashaivanushastava. The demigods always fear the sound of your bowstring. They are constantly in anxiety, afraid of fighting. Therefore, what can they do by their endeavors to harm you? Asya taste sharavratar hanyamana samantata jijivisava utsridya palayana parayu. While being pierced by your arrows, which you discharge on all sides, some of them who are injured by the multitude of arrows, but who desire to live, fled the battlefield intent on escaping. Text 34. Kechi pranjalaya dina vasta shastra divaukasaha mukta kaccha shikhat kechi bhitasma iti vadinaha. Defeated and bereft of all weapons, some of the demigods gave up fighting and praised you with folded hands. And some of them, appearing before you with loosened garments and hair, said, O Lord, we are very much afraid of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Om jnanatam vandasya jnananjana salataya. Chakshiram militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale. Swayam rupa kadamayam virati swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adwaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today we are
we're seeing the friends of Kamsa coming to his rescue. He has just apologized profusely to Vasudeva and Devaki, and now he's telling his ministers and his friends what took place, and now they are going to give the expert advice of what to do. So we have seen also other demons like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, and others, how they surround themselves with other demons. Their friends are actually demoniac. They have no good qualities. And when one has such persons as their advisors, you can imagine what would happen to them. So the few verses afterwards here are describing what actually, it's as if these ministers, they already have seen what's going on in the battle, and they are saying, you're going to be killing them, they're going to be your demigods, you're going to be afraid of your bowstring, and how are you actually going to be successful? They're trying to, you know, get him into being enthusiastic to fight, and how he will win. But he has just apologized, and he's in a good mood, and now this is what he's going to get as advice. The demons, they're always against the demigods. They have different qualities, they have different desires. While the demigods want to worship the Supreme Lord, the demons want to kill him. And we have seen how many battles took place between the demigods and demons. And sometimes the demons won. We've seen in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, how he was defeated by the demons. He and all the demigods, they had to run in fear. And also in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when he offended Durvasa Muni, again they lost. They lost the battle. In every case you see, however, that the demigods, they committed some offense, and as a result they had to lose. In the first case, in the sixth canto, he offended Brihaspati. Brihaspati came in to the room, and an angel was so puffed up with his opulence that he didn't show any respect. And so Brihaspati got very, very angry, and he left that place. He didn't have to say anything. He was very upset. And that alone was a big offense of Indra. Later on, he had to, he did fire sacrifices and Agnihotras and different prayers with the help of another priest. And therefore, they were able to win again their kingdom. And now in the eighth canto, he is offending Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni is not usually a very happy person. He's usually the different experiences we have of him in Bhagavatam is that he gets very angry very quickly. But on this occasion, Durvasa Muni had a very nice garland on, and he gave it to Indra. And Indra, he didn't accept it nicely, respectfully. He took the garland and he just gave it to the elephant. And the elephant, not knowing what to do with the garland, just threw it on the ground and smashed it. And Durvasa Muni was, of course, very upset. You know, it's belittling to someone, especially great like Durvasa Muni. He was very, very powerful. And he's, you know, he's giving him his blessings and he's giving it to the elephant too. So Durvasa Muni cursed him, of course. He has no problem doing that, Durvasa Muni. So he would fight with Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, by that time, even though he was in the clan of the demons, he was actually a very great devotee at heart. In fact, he is one of the Mahajans. He has given up everything for Krishna, for Lord Vamandev. And even if you read, even before he became the Mahajan of giving up everything, if you read some of the things that he said, you can see that the devotee's words are coming through. And so, when one is too opulent, and when one is very wealthy, and he has so many nice things of the world, material things, then it's said that he became dhana-dema-danda. Dhana-dema-danda means one becomes blind by the wealth that he has. Dhana-dema-danda. And this happened to Indra in his heavenly kingdom. It happens quite a bit. And it can happen to anyone. Demons in general, they have no good qualities. And in Bhagavad Gita, those qualities are described. I'd like to go through some of those because it gives a very graphic example of where they are at and how they are thinking. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it's called The Divine and Demoniac Natures. And here are some of them that are described by Krishna, of course. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. Following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demoniac, thus illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work attracted by the impermanent. They believe that to gratify the senses and is the prime necessity of human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. And it goes on like that. You can read it in the 16th chapter. There's so many other descriptions of the demoniac. However, now, in one of the verses there, Srila Prabhupada is saying that that the demoniac, they go down so low that they can never come back and get the mercy of the Lord if they don't want it. And Srila Prabhupada is saying there in that one purport that that can happen to anyone. If one doesn't want the mercy of Krishna, Krishna will not give it. One has to actually earn it. As soon as we make one step towards Krishna, then he helps us so many times more. However, if we don't want it, then he will not force it on us. And that's the case of the demons. Of course, over all of this is the pastime where Krishna wanted to enjoy a good fighting, and therefore he engages devotees, Jai and Vijay, to fight with. And therefore, that's the pastime. However, Srila Prabhupada is describing, if a person, demoniac person, if he wants to live in a material world, he could stay here forever. And one could say it's sometimes similar to the Christians who speak of, you know, going to hell forever, burning hell forever. So that is possible, but that is if one wants it. But if he wants to get out of this world, he turns his face. Baho Mukha. Right now, the living entities of this world, imprisoned in the shackles of Maya,
we turn our face away from Krishna. But as soon as we turn our face towards Krishna, then He is ready to help us and give us everything we need. Sometimes when I would speak with some devotees who have children who create trouble in the house, and I heard one time, I was at a program, that Krishna, that we have to become, parents have to become like Krishna, in the sense that Krishna never gives up on someone. He never gives up on someone. He's always following the devotee wherever he goes, a living entity. He is within the heart, and he goes with that person up to the heavens, down to the lower planetary systems, to the hellish planets. Wherever that person goes, Krishna goes with him. And he is just waiting. He's just there as a witness, waiting for that person to turn his face back to him. And as soon as that person turns towards Krishna for help, Krishna is ready to give him help. So sometimes I would tell devotees, if this son or daughter of yours, they don't want to follow the rules of the house, then we could always help them to get a place outside. And as soon as they are willing to follow the rules of the house, they are welcome to come back. You're not condemning them, but you're just helping them to see the truth. And in this way, they get trained up. There are certain rules of the house. You have to come in by this time, you have to do like this, and you have to do like that. And if you're not willing to do that, then I'll help you. You know, rent a little apartment outside, and you can come to the temple, and you can do whatever you want there. And as soon as you're ready to follow the rules of the house, you can come back. There will be no problem, no questions asked. So, in the same way, Krishna is dealing with us. He is there, two birds in a tree. One bird is eating, the other bird is just witnessing and waiting. This foolish bird is just trying to enjoy. He knows, he doesn't really know he can't enjoy. But Krishna is saying, as soon as he turns his face towards me, then I'm willing to help him. So Srila Prabhupada is explaining all of this to all of us, that we need to turn our face towards Krishna and engage in his service. By that service we will remain in the consciousness, in the Krishna consciousness, in God consciousness. There is a, Srila Prabhupada is describing this verse in the purport. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunais tatra samasate sura harada bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manoratena sati dhavato bahi. That the devotees, they have all good qualities. And the demons, they are the opposite. This is from the this is from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavati kinchana. And what it actually says is this. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? So, in the case of Ravana, the demon, he was told by so many seniors, send Sita back home, send her back to Lord Ram, and then you will be happy. Then Lord Ram is going to, he will release you, he would not take it seriously, dear. He would not take this offense seriously. But he said, no, I can't do that. Who is Lamb? He's just a mortal man. He's just a, look at him, he's in the forest. He has lost his kingdom. He's just a weak person. Who is he to defeat me? And in the end, of course, he is going to be killed. Hiranyakashipu, look at what he did. He did some penances, got some power, didn't want to die. Then he was given all the, you could say, all the things that would prevent one from dying by Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma benedict him. You are not going to die in the day or night, inside the house, outside the house, on the ground, in the air, on the land. Not at daytime, not at nighttime, not by anything living or anything dead. So one, it's easy for one to think that, well, now who could kill me? I cannot die in the day or at night. I cannot die in the house or outside the house. So one could think, oh, well, Hiranyakashipu, of course, felt like that too. How is, one might wonder, well, in fact, I used to wonder, well, how is God, how is Krishna going to actually do this? You know, how is he going to fulfill this and still kill this demon? So when you read, it is such a nice thing to read that the Lord played with him till it was around sunset. It wasn't day or night. He put him on his lap, so he wasn't in the air or on the ground. He took him by the doorway, so it wasn't inside the house or outside the house. He took his fingernails, which are neither living nor dead. And that one actually surprised me because I've never heard of that before. The fingernails, they grow so you could see they're alive. But if you cut them, you don't feel anything, so it's like they're dead. So in this way, he was out, Hiranyakashipu, this great demon who has created so much havoc for the devotees. He was killed by the Lord. And he has done so much atrocities, killing so many. It is described that if one wants to kill Vishnu, then he should destroy the things that are related to Vishnu. That's the Vaishnavas, the devotees, you know, destroy their paraphernalia, destroy their fire jagyas, all the holy books, destroy the Bhagavad Gita and all the holy books, destroy the Vaishnavas, destroy, destroy, destroy. If you kill all those things, then you will make, their intention was to make Vishnu weak so they can beat him in battle. However, they don't know. They don't know how powerful Lord Vishnu is. So, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also there is the 26 qualities of the devotee given. Devotees, and there is that book also, 26 qualities of a devotee. I'll quickly go through it. It's Kripalu Akrita Druha Satya Sara Sama Dosa Vadana Nidu Suchi Akinchana Sarva Pakara Prashanta Krishnaika Sharan Akana Anihastira Vijita Sadguna Nita Bhukka Panata Manada Amani Gambhira Karuna Maitra Kavi Daksha Mauni. The devotees are always merciful. They are humble, truthful, equal to all, faultless, magnanimous, mild and clean. They are without material possessions and they perform welfare work for everyone. They are peaceful, surrendered to Krishna and desireless. They are indifferent to material acquisitions and are fixed in devotional service. They completely control the six bad qualities, lust, anger, greed and so on. They eat only as much as required and they are not inebriated. They are respectful, grave, compassionate, and without false prestige. They are friendly, poetic, expert, and silent. Those are a lot of qualities to have as a devotee. But a devotee has them. And so we may wonder, I don't see this quality in that devotee, or I don't see that quality in the other devotee. And sometimes we might even question. One person asked a question actually when I was in Puerto Rico many years ago. She was just coming to the temple and she was asking, all these good qualities are there, but that devotee, he has been in the movement for 20 years and we still see that he doesn't have much good qualities. How would you answer that? So that was a very good question, something you might want to ask too. How is it that this devotee is, you know, he seems to have so many bad qualities despite, you know, practicing the philosophy for so many years? So the devotee who gave the class answered that if you see these bad qualities in this person now, you can imagine what he was 20 years ago. You can imagine what he was 20 years ago, because there was some change in him over 20 years, and still. So, of course, that was a new person. You don't really know all the intricacies of how the devotees work, and how one should look upon others who are engaged in devotional service. You see how Srila Prabhupada himself, how he defended his devotees whenever they were questioned or attacked. And that one person wrote in Science of Self-Realization, you'll see, a lady wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that your followers, I see that they're receiving so much negativity on the road, and you know, they're forcing people to take books and, you know, this thing and that thing. Prabhupada replied, please forgive them, because they are new, they don't know this philosophy very well. But you can be sure that the activity they are doing, there is no imperfection in that. The activity of saving the world, the activity of giving people God consciousness, of distributing these books, that these, if someone reads these books, then his life will be cured for once and for all. All the millions and millions of years he has been suffering, going from hellish planetary systems up and down the universe to the heavens, and going back down and suffering for millions of years. By just reading one word in this book, he can be saved. So that person might have all these imperfections, but because he is giving Krishna to everyone else, that is not a mistake. So we have to be able to see devotees like that. Imperfections are there. And just last week we were hearing how there are different classes of people. And Lord Shiva, he falls in that bracket where someone may not have any good qualities, but Lord Shiva is able to see a little speck, and then he expands it to make it to show what position he is in and how to see others. Okay, so what time is it? Maybe I'll stop here and see if there are any questions or comments.
You touched a little bit on my point, but you said that when someone turns to Krishna, Krishna helps him even more. So question I have is that sometimes we may not feel like that. Sometimes one has so many obstacles in his Krishna consciousness or everything or something like that. And then another aspect is that how do we see, just like here, that Kamsa and his ministers are plotting against these villagers, and they're planning to kill all the children. And so sometimes we see like that other devotees going through great hardships or something, and how we should see that.
We know that Krishna, he always, one way or the other, the Lord is looking out for his devotees. In fact, he's looking out for everyone, but he especially look out for his devotees. And one thing I've heard is we don't see the full picture of everything that's going on. We don't
you don't see everything that's on the picture, like like the three blind men, they were seeing different parts of the elephant. So, and also there's a nice story about how if things are going wrong for you, you may think, well, Krishna is not giving me his mercy. If I get, in general, the materialistic people think like that. But if I have a lot of facility, I have a good house, and I can get a nice job, and so many nice material facility, they think that they are successful and God is blessing them. A devotee, I heard one story one time when I was young, my mother used to say, and I think it's applicable, where Krishna and Narad Muni, they were going out into the village, and they stopped at this old sadhu's house, and he had a cow and a calf, and he was so happy to see Krishna and Narad Muni. I guess the sadhus were very pure, they were able to see Krishna directly. He invited them in, he put, like, there was a straw mat, he put it on the ground and invited, you know, Krishna to sit down and gave him milk to drink. And when Krishna was leaving, he said, may you lose that one cow and calf that you have. And Narad Muni is thinking, wow, why is he saying that? That's all this sadhu has. So he went down the street and met a very rich man, palatial building, and he went in there and nobody invited him. The owner of the house, he was very busy doing all his different things and making money and all transactions and so forth. He had no time for Krishna. He didn't offer him a seat. And being Vedic culture, at least you offer a person a seat and give him some water to drink, a visitor, especially any guest who come to the house. So he didn't invite him in to sit down. He didn't have any time for Krishna. And Krishna said, well, may you have 100 times of what you have now. May you be blessed with 100 times of what you have. And Narad Muni immediately said, Krishna, this is not right. You know, that old sadhu over there, you know, that's all he has, a cow and a calf. How is he going to live? And Krishna said, and this man, you know, he didn't even offer you a water, a place to sit down. And now he's going to have 100 times the opulence that he has. So Krishna says, that cow and the calf is the only thing that is keeping that devotee from coming to me. And this man, he wants to be entangled in this world, so let him be really entangled, let him get more. So we can maybe, this might be able to apply in that situation. A devotee is suffering, and that suffering might be the purification that is left to be done in order for him to completely purify himself to go back home, back to Godhead. Somebody else might add to. Yeah.
When we're cultivating devotional service, is it normal when you develop spiritual those qualities that are naturally in the soul, like all those qualities that you read, but at the same time, wouldn't be good for us to like endeavor ourselves to try to develop more of these qualities so we can really become more attractive to others, spiritually talking, you know? So if other people see like what is really the, you know, the personification of all these qualities, like Prabhupada, for instance. We can see in Prabhupada all these beautiful qualities and everybody's naturally so attracted to him. So in the same way, it wouldn't be good for us to cook it. Let's say someone has been chanting for 20 years, but it's, you don't see those qualities, even though they're there, but we don't see them. Maybe for that particular devotee, even if we don't see them, they're there, but it would be good to endeavor, make some endeavor to develop those qualities, or...
Sure. Yeah, the idea, that's the whole idea of the Hare Krishna movement, is to help people to develop all these good qualities. But we have to always remember that we should not be disturbed by when we see these things, because in a prison house, who are in the prison house? Or prisoners, you know, they have done something wrong and they have bad qualities, that's why they are there. Now that applies to all of us. except for a few who have come to release us. So we should not be surprised when we see these qualities in people. And if someone falls down, it's not surprising. It's just the nature of the world that these things would happen. But we just have to be able to see everything through the eyes of Scripture. This is happening, and I can understand. And even with demigods, even very, very great personalities, they fall from the position where they may develop some bad quality. And we just have to be able to protect our own creeper somehow or other. Charity begins at home, so we should be very careful to protect our own devotional creeper. And when we see those things, we should see them through the eyes of Scripture. Okay, well, this is Maya, this is devotion. And if you be able to identify those and see things as they are, and I think Sri Isha Upanishad says that one should know what is Maya, one should also know what is Krishna. And he should know how each of those act. So when we are able to distinguish between different things that we see and see them through the eyes of Scripture, then there will be no difficulty, there will be no problem. Okay, so I guess we'll end there. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai, Śrīmad Bhāgavatam ki jai.